X, who produced the show. You can find me at chrisedges.substack.com.
The radio program Making Contact is now produced by KPFK and Pacifica Radio, and we're looking for volunteers to join our team. The station needs people who want to help book guests, conduct interviews, or script the show, especially bilingual English-Spanish speakers, people who have experience with audio editing, and someone who's skilled at enhancing interviews with archival footage, music, and sound effects. If you'd like to join this exciting transition and be a part of Making Contact's future, please email makingcontact@kpfk.org. That's makingcontact@kpfk.org.
KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.
Can you hear me? Listener, welcome to another segment of Think Outside the Cage. I'm your host, Mark Cofield. We'll be here with you an hour this lovely Sunday morning. I want to give shout out to all those who made pledges and donations to KPFK, specifically Think Outside the Cage. You made us look really good. I'm actually overwhelmed with gratitude and appreciation. You are saying that you appreciate Think Outside the Cage, and we belong with this radio station, so thank you. Now, the last time I was on here, I believe the phones were down. I believe they're up now, so if you want to be a part of the discussion, you can call in at 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-5735. On my way, getting ready to come out here, I was listening to Donald Trump yet again trying to end birthright citizenship. He's trying to do it again through an executive order, even after the United States Supreme Court just shot him down on this. It was a close ruling. People need to be aware. People need to be concerned, because the ruling, I believe, was 5-4. A judge going the other way, they could be rounding up people who was born here. Let that settle in. Let that soak in. It was only one vote away from people actually them come rounding you up, sending you to another country you probably never even heard of. So what he's going to do, he's trying to create another way to get around that. You know, he won't take no for an answer. That's the most stubbornest devil I done seen in my life. He will not take no for an answer. So what this guy's going to do, he's going to create another executive order, and somebody's going to file an injunction on the executive order, and here we go back up to the United States Supreme Court. Why he's allowed to continue to keep doing this, I don't understand. It's like I've never seen someone that just a straight disregard for the Constitution. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then he's also put in an executive order for the federal government to stop paying in the Medicaid as far as the medications. So how you're on Medicaid or Medicare and how you get your medications, it's paid for through the federal government. He'd say, he's trying to stop that. Well, you have to pay for it yourself. voting have consequences. I preached until my you know, and it's hard, it's almost impossible for me to turn red, but I did, trying to tell you not to vote for this corrupt politician. So what I'm going to do is have my techno engineer play a clip, and I'm going to commentate on the clip after it's played.
The show is now crying because he about to lose all his stuff because he ain't got no workers because his punk ass voted for Trump. Roll it.
I voted for Donald Trump.
The Chef Creole restaurant in Miami's Little Haiti neighborhood is typically bustling with customers. Not today.
People are scared.
Owner Wilkinson Sajor says it's not just the clientele. After 34 years in business, he's lost his entire management team at 7 locations and will likely have to shut down 2 stores due to the end of temporary protected status.
The end of TPS means for me that my future in the hospitality business is almost going to be non-existent.
On Sunday, federal officers made an immigration arrest outside one of his restaurants.
What would you say to the president that you voted for?
He sold to me that he is a businessman and that he will be making business decisions.
Do you regret your vote?
Yes, I do.
But okay, fine. Let's say you actually believe he's a great businessman, Michael. Michael, how can you call him a great businessman and your ass is about to lose your business voting for his ass? And he don't care about your ass. Trump ain't coming to his restaurant. Trump ain't sending nobody there. Now he's sending the Venezuelans. He's sending the Haitians. All them dumbass Cubans. He like, yeah, y'all gone too. All them food. Latinos for Trump. And then 6 months later, oh my God, I can't believe he's doing this. Oh, all them Assalamu alaikum Muslims sitting here voting for him against Kamala Harris and they in Dearborn, Michigan, praying 5 times to Allah, going, oh my God, we didn't see it. We told you dumbasses. Crazy deranged white racist is exactly who he is. What the hell were y'all thinking?
Well, Roland, there's a few things here. So they're stuck on stupid. Many of them are sexist. And the other thing is, when you have somebody like Chef Creole, who says he thought Donald Trump was a good businessman. Donald Trump is the king of the grift. His net worth has increased $2.2 billion approximately based upon documents that he provided, based upon reporting. It could be a lot more than that. He's a good businessman grifting for himself, not to help other people, not to help you. And before the election, if you look at reporting from Reuters, you look at reporting from CNBC, they said that Donald Trump, they analyzed Donald Trump's economic plan and Kamala Harris. They said Donald Trump would increase the national deficit. They said Donald Trump would drastically hurt the economy because of his immigration plans, because of his ICE raids. OK, and they said Kamala Harris' economic plan would be much better for the country. So when you go vote, not only against your own business interests, the community that you serve, but against black people, because keep in mind, Donald Trump ran on the campaign of unleashing the police. Who do you think he was going to unleash the police against? OK, Donald Trump ran on the campaign of anti-DEI, ran on the campaign of attacking African-American history, black history, things like this. So when I see somebody like that, it'll be a little different if it was the first time Donald Trump was running for president. But he left office the first time with a negative job creation of 2.5 million jobs. What type of good businessman is that? So I just have to look at somebody like Chef Creole, like he's stuck on stupid. And I would want to ask him, why didn't you vote for Kamala Harris, who had a agenda for African-Americans, who had a black male agenda, whose policies were much better? Why didn't you vote for her?
Well, clearly, Matt, the little chef did not recall this clip that went around.
Well, the new book is entitled Surviving at the Top. There are many people who would say failing at the top.
I hope the general public understands how inherently dishonest the press in this country is.
As a member of the press, let me try to clear up some of the things which you say are untrue. You write in your book, my bankers and I worked out a terrific deal that allows me to come out stronger than ever. I see the deal as a great victory, and eventually the rest of the world will too. Being on the verge of bankruptcy, being bailed out by the banks.
Well, you don't have to say
skating on thin ice and almost drowning, that's a businessman to be admired.
You say on the verge of bankruptcy, Barbara, and you talk on the verge, and you listen to what people are saying.
I talk to your bankers.
Well, that's fine. And what do they say? I mean, you know, depending on which banker you're talking to, what do they say? I'm the only one people write about. I mean, they don't write about other people.
You have a little more debt than most people. You're something like $3 billion in debt.
I also have a little more assets than most people.
Okay. You have debts to pay back.
Right.
You have huge loans to pay back. You say the country is in a depression. What makes you think that you can pay back those loans? And further, what your bankers have told us is that the only way you even have a chance is by selling that property out there totally, the Plaza.
Well, I don't know what the bankers have said. The Plaza is a very valuable property. Everybody told me, oh, you paid too much. Now they're all saying what a great deal he made on the Plaza.
Not. You yourself said that you saw your children maybe once a week. You're having a lot of difficulties with your 12-year-old son, Donnie. You haven't talked to him since May. Do you believe in fidelity in marriage?
Yes, absolutely, I do.
In the current issue of Vanity Fair, the author Marie Brenner says that you read from Hitler's collective speeches, My New Order, and that these are speeches that you seem to admire. What's your reaction? Do you have this book?
A friend of mine sent me a book, a man who I think is Jewish, although I don't know.
Now, that was Barbara Walters interviewing Donald Trump, I believe it was 2020, back in 1990, and I hope you listened to that interview. He straight admitted he was infidelity. He was a cheater, you know, and he read literature on Hitler, all these different things. This is the man, you know, bankrupt, owed $3 billion. This was in 1990. He owed $3 billion. And then you wonder why we're in the state we're in today. Elections have consequences. Okay, I'm going to get to a caller, Lynn from out of L.A. Lynn from out of L.A., a caller? Yes.
Hello.
You on the air, Lynn?
I'm on the phone trying to talk to you. Yeah? Okay. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. Okay, good morning. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, what's on my mind is a story about thinking outside the cage and being resilient. And I don't know if you've heard this name before, a man named Desmond Mead. Have you heard of him?
No, but I'll look him up.
Definitely should, because he was in and out of prison as a younger man. He had felony convictions on his record, and he got out and was trying to make a new life for himself, and it wasn't working. And so he decided he wanted to end it all, and he went down to the railroad tracks waiting for the train to come so he could jump in front of it and die. And the train never came, and he said to himself, man, I can't do anything right, you know? And so he went back home and thought, what else can I do, you know? And he said, well, education. I'll go back, I'll get my high school diploma, which he did. I'll go to college and get a degree, which he did. And then he went to law school and got a law degree. Being in Florida, you can't practice law with a felony on your record. So he petitioned this Ron DeSantis, the governor, for a pardon so he could practice law. And the governor turned him down twice. Okay, But this guy is the one who wrote and promoted that bill that in Florida, it was on the ballot maybe 4 years ago. I can't remember when, but it was Amendment 4 to get all people who completed their jail sentence and had felonies on their record, if they did their time, they could now vote. And it was voted by, it had to be, you know, a large amount to get, because it was a changing the state constitution. It won, it passed. And then, of course, DeSantis and the Republicans said, well, okay, people with felony convictions can vote, but only if they pay all the fees they owe. But they didn't tell them how. So they you know how the Republicans try to cheat and change the system. And so they fought back, even though Desmond needs Amendment 1. So the whole point, the closing point, he is now running for office as the next governor of Florida. Desmond Meade, as an independent. This is a story of resilience, of determination, of fortitude. And so I just thought it was worth sharing. That's all.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. Yeah, that is interesting. I'm going to have to look into that. Okay. I appreciate the call, Lynn.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Okay. Let's get to Steve from out of Los Angeles.
Good morning, brother.
Hey, good morning. What's on your mind this morning?
Yes, I want to talk to you about a recent incident that happened, actually happened in the last few weeks. Everybody talked about it on social media and satellite, and even on KPFK, about the Congressman Wilkana, who happens to be an American of East Indian descent. He actually visited Palestine, the West Bank, and he reported that he was harassed by the IDF Zionist soldiers. A lot of people were hearing about that. I want to talk about it on your show here, brother. So he basically, you know, he would go into to the Palestinian villages that were destroyed by the settlers, and the settlers are armed, you know, civilians. You know, the Zionists are destroying villages after village since 1948. You know, the settlers, they don't even show any respect for the congressman, and he's an American. But regardless of what the background is, race, ethnicity, religion, political play. If you're critical of Israel, they're going to harass you. If you're loyal to Israel, they're going to welcome you with the red carpet. That's what it comes down to. Also, the settlers have weapons armed, you know, from America. They harass the congressman. They're laughing at him. And it just so happens that he has olive complexion. But regardless if he was a fair complexion or a dark complexion, they were harassing him. And, you know, to keep in mind that the Zionist Jews, they have different looks. Some of them are light skin and dark skin. But the point is that they were harassing him because he was critical of Israel. Also, the IDF, they side with the settlers. They're not objective. And it's ironic, brother, that Israel have the best weapons from America. They get the best health care. And look at what we're struggling here in this country. Well, about government assistance and American taxpaying dollars go to go fund Israel. And also, you know, they're trying to cut health, you know, the Trump administration trying to cut health care and government assistance. We talk about it on your show all the time. And they got the best weapons coming from the USA to go give to Israel, all from our taxpayer, our hardworking taxpaying dollars. Now, like I said, it's ironic. These settlers have the best weapons and they say, oh, Israel wanted to demand that Hamas and Hezbollah and Houthis and all the Iran to disarm, and they never say anything about the Zionist settlers disarming. And these settlers, as I said earlier, they're civilians. So also, the tactics used by the settlers are just like the tactics they use here by the police and ICE. Even though the majority of police are good people, but the rogue police officers who are, you know, who lie and corrupted and cheat and all this other stuff, the bottom line is that the tactics used by the police and the ICE here are the training from Zionist Israel. And this has been going on for many years. And I mentioned this on your show as well. And also,
I have to start wrapping it up, Steve.
Yeah. I have one last point here, brother. That's very important to say. So I said the tactics are used by the police and ICE from Israel. And also, you know, they say that the Zionists are against Nazis and the Zionists are acting like Nazis. So the war with Iran is obviously Israel's war. Our soldiers are dying for Israel. So I wanted to leave it on that powerful point.
But okay. All right. Thanks for the call, Steve. Okay. Let's get to Harold out of Santa Barbara.
You hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. What's on your mind this morning?
Good morning. To ride on that previous caller's statement about Wokana, it's interesting. Wokana, if you read Palace's book on how Trump won the election, you will notice the similarities between how Wokana won his seat. He won his seat because he voted to support IDF. And the second statement, this is about Thiel. Thiel left California to go to Argentina. Now, remember, California, the fourth largest economy in the world, it has to have an economic base. So Israel has to have an economic base. One of the economic bases for Thiel is the income from California universities' student loans. They have a high interest rate, and you can never really pay them off, but it does support Israel. The third point is, remember when our lovely president sent Argentina money, and where did Thiel run off to? He ran off to Argentina. Do you think there's any type of relationship between California and Thiel and our president giving Argentina money? I mean, why are we giving Argentina money?
You got to ask Donald Trump that. He the one gave it to him. We didn't give it to him. We the people didn't give it to him. He gave it to him.
Yeah. Well, you answered it perfectly. I love it. You have a good day.
You too, Harold. I appreciate the call. Okay, we want to get to, I believe it's Leah from out of L.A.
Yes. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. What's on your mind this morning?
Okay, I have about 3 points I'd like to make, please. People always say that, you know, in recent news that Donald Trump has made about $2.2 billion since he's been in office. No. That's a huge understatement. With these wars, turning them on, turning them off, this man and his family, they're making hundreds of billions of dollars. If anyone believes anything other than that, they are insane. The U.S. economy is broke. It's just not on the books. We don't know it yet, but we are in a financial crunch like soup line time. That's one of the things that I wanted to speak about. And in regards to these missiles, the various missiles that they're using for these wars and selling and buying, but using from our arsenal, these terminal high altitude area defense missiles that are called THAADs, THAAD, those missiles cost between $12 and $15 million each. The Tomahawk missiles cost between $2.2 and $3.6 million each. So we get nothing, but all of our tax money is going to fund these wars. I can't believe that the Democrats, and I blame Congress, the Democrats, because I believe that the Democrats were just waiting for this administration to mess up so badly so that people could run back over to the Democratic Party, which I think that they should have impeached him a long time ago, but they were playing politics. So I'll never forgive them for that. But one last thing is I never heard any of the politicians, not one, talk about the fact that our tax dollars are paying for the White House, the staff, the keeping up of the grounds, and everything else. We're paying for that. And this man, this administration is double dipping because we're also paying for another residence, Mar-a-Lago, the security there, the upkeep there, the defense there, the security defense. We're paying for that. For the Air Force One, we're paying for all of that. The flyers, we're paying for all of these things, yet we're also paying for another flight. I mean, this other airplane that was given to him for bribery.
Okay, Lee, I have to start wrapping it up.
Okay, fine, thank you. But I'm just saying that we can't even get a base standard of living. I don't believe that everyone, you can call it socialism or whatever you want to call it, you know, but I believe that everyone should have at least a base standard of living, mental health, medical, dental, and have a home.
I agree with you.
But thank you very much.
I agree with you 100%. Okay, thanks for the call. Okay, I'm going to get to another clip here, and then I'll commentate on the clip afterwards. My techno engineer, Irene.
MS Now, it's confirmed that the Justice Department moved to drop felony charges against former Olympian David Hearn after acknowledging that the damage to the Lincoln Memorial reflecting pool was caused by a flawed installation rather than vandalism. The motion to dismiss was filed by D.C. Attorney Jeanine Pirro after prosecutors concluded that the damage attributed to Hearn stemmed from defects in the installation of the reflecting pool's liner. The filing said information obtained after the indictment showed the damage was caused by, quote, botched work performed by the project's contractor, not by criminal conduct. Remember, it was Donald Trump's chosen contractor who did this very work, and it was Trump himself who made this following claim.
They cut it up with a box knife and tried to destroy it. These people are sick. They ripped a scar 350 feet long through the side of the reflecting pool.
And Jeanine Pirro said they had beyond a reasonable doubt that Hearn had, in fact, ripped it up. Joining us now is Barbara McQuaid, former U.S. attorney and law professor at the University of Michigan Law School. She is also an MS Now legal analyst. She is the author of The Fix, Saving America from the Corruption of a Mob-Style Government. Barbara, first, I want to start with the reflecting pool because I think it sets up everything else around this. Clearly false statements made by the president and Jeanine Pirro that his own people then aren't able to prove in the court of law. What damage does filing these types of prosecutions, from trying to make the subway sandwich thrower a felony crime to the reflecting pool indictment, do to the credibility of the Department of Justice?
Boy, Vaughn, I really worry what it does, because it means that members of the public can no longer trust the Justice Department to be bringing cases in good faith. The timing of this dismissal is so suspect. It came right after the defense filed a motion to disclose grand jury materials because of this very issue. A witness came into the grand jury room, according to the transcript, testified he didn't know anything about the value of the damage that had been done by Mr. Hearn. He leaves the room and 20 minutes later comes back and says, oh yeah, it was more than $1,000, which is what the statute requires. It was so implausible that the defense team filed a motion to find out everything that occurred before the grand jury. And then the very next day, we see this motion to dismiss. This confirms what most people have suspected all along, that there was no there. But it appears that this case had come to roost, that they were about to be discovered, that there really was no basis for this case. And so rather than be humiliated, Jeanine Pirro chose to voluntarily dismiss the case.
MS Now, it's confirmed that the Justice Department.
So now I take this particular incident personal, because that's pretty much what happened to me. Someone in a higher authority decided to fabricate a case against me, and they came and arrested me. Now, this guy had a much better outcome than I did. You know, I ended up serving time for something I had nothing to do with. But you see how dangerous this is? This guy didn't do nothing. He didn't do anything wrong. Actually, it was Trump's contractors that screwed up the pool, reflecting pool or whatever it was. And he's still going to get on TV and lie and won't admit that they screwed up. See, I take that personal, because that's what happened to me. after me being in prison for all those years and they saw that I was an innocent man, they still would rather make me serve out that time. You people are playing with fire. That could have happened to anybody. And you think this is a just man. Man, get out of here with that. Let me have Susan from Pomona.
Hi, can you hear me?
Good morning, Susan. What's on your mind this morning?
Hi. Good morning to you. I just wanted to get touch back to the stuff you were talking about at the beginning of the hour. And, maybe it was the guy that you had on, the clip about some person that regrets having voted for Trump.
Yeah, that was a chef out of Florida, a Haitian chef.
Well, and that kind of makes it even worse, all I can say is when it comes to conservatives, if you want to make them swoon with delight, you'll tell them that you're a candidate who's a successful businessman and a billionaire. And it's like they just, their frontal cortex just stops working. They love it. They think that you're going to run the country great if you're a successful businessman, which Trump, basically, he's the big businessman, but he's not that successful. But they don't care. It's amazing. He dangles bait in front of people, and they just stop thinking with their brain.
Trump is a failed businessman. Actually, Trump had 3 failed casinos. If I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. I believe it was 3. How can you fail with a casino when you pretty much, people coming in there, to me, casinos is the most con artist businesses in the world. When you go in there and blow off all your money, it's rigged. If you don't think the casinos is rigged, casinos is like wrestling and everything else that has a bunch of, riggedness to it. And he failed at casinos. How dumb can you be?
Well, you go into a casino with money, you give them your money, and you come out with nothing. And then you go back again later.
But he bankrupt casinos. So how could anybody think that he's a good businessman?
I don't think they think about it. I think they hear these knee-jerk, I hear a businessman, he's a businessman and he's rich. So he's got to be successful. It doesn't even matter whether or not they are. None of the objective reality even matters anymore.
Well, you know what?
He can lie.
When that big, beautiful bill kick in, and see, people are already getting kicked off health care. People have to, can't get their medicine now because a lot of people can't afford these co-pays and all these different things going on. And the big, beautiful bill does not kick in until January. That's when it's really going to get all bad.
Yeah, well, it's all going to come down to that, really. And like that guy, the Haitian guy in Florida, it's like when it comes to conservative people, it has to hit them personally, individually, for them to change their mind.
You're right,
and
I agree with you.
How long it's going to take? It's going to take to get every single one of those MAGA type people to see the light.
I don't know, but
it won't be until each and every one of them separately and individually feels the pain.
Okay, well, I have to get out of here, Susan. I appreciate the phone call, and you have a blessed and safe Sunday. All right, let's get Ben out of Buena Park.
Hey, Mark.
Hey,
good morning.
What's on your mind this morning?
Happy Sunday.
All right, same to you.
First thing is that Donald Trump has no respect for anything, not for people, not for institutions, not for the law. So, of course, he's going to challenge everything because he's like the whining kid in the checkout stand that has to have one of those candy bars. But anyway, the other thing is that, you think about the number of bankruptcies that Trump has had and the number of people that his contractors he has stiffed. And see, the problem is Trump thinks that is virtuous. And that reminds me of something I mentioned here a little while ago, was something Leo Tolstoy said over 100 years ago. The wicked become worse when they are tolerated. And I would add to that, the self-righteous also become worse when they are tolerated. But you see, this is what I look to for your show, because like last caller, I mean, she captured perfectly that Trump is not a good businessman. Do you know why people think he's a good businessman? Because of the show The Apprentice. And by the way, there's some evidence that Russia got him that gig just so they could clean up his reputation, his street cred. Huh? Have you heard that?
No, I haven't heard it, but I wouldn't put it. I don't. Man, that man is so scared of Putin. Man, Putin is.
Well, but no, wait, no. The point is that it's not his business practices that got him this reputation. It's his character on a game show.
Yeah,
that's the point. As everybody says, he's a good businessman only because that's the only place he ever portrayed a good businessman. In reality, failed and corrupt, a hateful, offensive, insulting, lying, disrespectful person that he is.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Ben. I appreciate it. Okay. Let's get to Diane from Sherman Oaks.
Hello.
Hey, good morning. What's on your mind this morning, Diane?
Well, I just wanted you maybe to talk a little bit about we've heard there's been so much media coverage about how the Democratic Party is fractured, but there's absolutely no information out there about and that fracture is young versus old, non-established versus established. But the Republican Party doesn't seem to have any information about, you know, people 30 and younger, about where they're at. We don't even know. We don't know what they think. We don't know what they have to say. It's a little disheartening to know that we're all listening to different information. So I know people who only listen to Fox. They will not listen to anything else. And so we don't have a consensus of what we all think. Where is the Republican Party? Where is it?
You know what I believe with the Republican Party? I believe the Republican Party is going to do in these elections what they did in all the other elections. But this time they're going to go against the Republican Party. They're going to lie. And they're going to say they voting for Donald Trump, but actually they're not. Now, see, Republicans is feeling this too. They feeling it just like the Democrats, just like the independents. Everybody is feeling this. This is a mess, Diane, and I'm sure you know it is. Some of us are not underwater, but many of us are not over water. You know, we're not above water. We're struggling. You know, paycheck to paycheck and all these different things. And that's just not a Democrat, a Republican, or independent issue. That's everybody's issue. The man is screwing up this economy with these tariffs. He's screwing up this economy with this war, with this this stupid war that caused these 18 young people to lose their lives. So I don't believe that the Republicans are going to be truthful. Like a lot of people, it was a lot of Democrats voted for Trump. A lot of independents said they was going to vote for Kamala, and they didn't. They voted for Trump. I think it's going to be reversed this time. And as far as the fracture in the Democratic Party, I think what the problem is you have the Republicans, this MAGA with the extreme, and you have the Democratic Socialists, and some of them are just being too extreme with this abolish borders, abolish the Senate, abolish the Supreme Court, abolish police. I think everything could use some reformation. But when you come out there and you're just boldly saying abolish, 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 and then you're conflating it with the Medicare. You're conflating it with the with the food assistance, with the housing assistance. You know, you shouldn't be conflating these issues. If this how you feel about that stuff, keep that stuff out of, you know, because it's not going to happen. You're not going to get someone to abolish penitentiaries. That's not going to happen in this lifetime. So why even put that on the table to get these Republicans talking points? That's the reason why there's a fracture right there, because a lot of people are not going to come out and say, I'm going to abolish a prison system. I've been to prison, and I'm not going to agree to that. So you can imagine someone who hasn't been to that, who hasn't been to prison, abolish the police. You lost your mind. That's what someone is saying. So that's where the fracture is coming. But I think everybody's going to come together in November. I think everybody's going to come together to bring about a change. This is going to be a change election. This election is about nothing else but changing what's going on right now. Everybody know this is a criminal enterprise, a mafia boss in that presidency, and they want him out of there.
Okay.
I didn't mean to take over your.
No, I appreciate. I think the extremes on both ends are exactly what they are, extremes. An example, which I know might seem off base, but as I've been a public school teacher in Los Angeles for many years, and when they came out and said, oh, we're going to change the funding system, and it's going to go directly to the schools, which never happened, because if you look at it like a river filled with levees, you make a change up here, but you didn't change any of the levees. So it just gets stuck in a bottleneck, and it never gets dispersed the way it should be. Just like having bills that constantly come out without ever telling us the many, many things that everybody would have said to their, you know, representative, no, don't vote for that if that's in there. That we are allowing things to happen in these bulk mass ways of doing things without actually taking it apart and saying, that you're promoting this, but you're doing that.
Great point, Diane. I don't mean to cut you off, but I do have need to get to some other callers. But look, I let you go a little longer because you hitting so many good points, and I think that the listeners need to hear a lot of the things you just said because you're hitting it right on target. But call in anytime I'm on the air. I appreciate your call. Thank you. Have a blessed Sunday. Okay, let's get to Tom out of Irvine.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, good morning. Again. What's on your mind this morning, Tom?
Hey, it was good to hear from Steve again. And also, you once asked that joker, Brent, to get together with Steve and have a conversation with him. And it sounded like Brent was scared Steve would wipe the floor with him.
Well, I don't know. But what I'm in the process of trying to also add a podcast to what I'm doing. And I would like for, you know, really people to start engaging and having conversations with each other. I'm telling you, Tom, we have more in common than we don't have in common. It's just arrogance and pride is what's messing everything up. People don't want to admit that they made a mistake. People don't want to admit they made an error. Everybody and their mama know that Donald Trump is screwing this country up. He done pretty much took us off the cliff right now. We're hanging on the cliff.
Okay, I agree with that. And you're describing somebody like Brent, you know, and this guy, this troll Brent, you know, he's been calling KPFK for years. He used to call Earl O'Farrell Hutchinson on Saturdays with the same old worn out material. He called himself Brent from West Hollywood back then. And he sounds like a very stupid version of Kerry Harrison. You know who Kerry Harrison is? He's got a show on Fridays at 10 o'clock.
No, I haven't haven't listened to it. Well, I will tune in though.
Yeah, he's a great guy, Kerry Harrison. And yeah, this guy Brent, he sounds like a very stupid version of him. He's got these pre-written rants. And just one thing, when Brent calls later today, ask him how he feels about Israel's free healthcare system with its on-demand abortion, because I know that's a big issue with him.
Uh-oh. How he feels about, what you say, pre-healthcare?
Free healthcare for all, Israel. You know, and we, of course, we fund Israel, so it's on our dime. And they have on-demand abortion.
I did not know that, Tom. Oh, okay. All right. Okay, well, all right. Hey, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. All right.
Sure. Happy to help. Thank you.
All right. So now we're going to get right over here to Brent from out of Los Angeles. You on the line, Brent?
A bright, optimistic MAGA morning, Mark.
Good morning, Brent. Now, I know you just heard that caller, right? And he wanted you to answer that question. Do you remember what the question was?
It had something to do with abortion in Israel.
Yeah, it had something to do with Israel has free health care for all, and we're probably paying for it because we're giving them so much money, and they have on-demand abortion. So he just wanted to know what you thought about that.
I would think the same thing about it in Israel as I do in America. If there are immoral behaviors going on in Israel, I will not accept it, just as in America. And I don't even know if what he says is accurate. And I think he implied that I was calling in as Brent from West Hollywood at some other time. I never was. So the guy seems a bit delusional.
What's on your mind this morning, though?
Well, I wanted to say, by the time ultra-Orthodox, Trump-deranged, bat-crap crazy James Carville, Bill Maher, and Nicki Minaj say they are leaving their degenerate, demonic, jihadi democracy, the Messiah cannot be far off. And sane and moral Americans with two eyes and half a brain are all seeing that their democracy has become a big, toxic, totalitarian tent of global terrorists, traitors, misogynists, racists, and bigots. And in light of Marxist, misogynistic, trans-demonic sports, women-loving Americans must now demand wise King Trump deliver a new MAGA executive order, assembling America's most brilliant doctors, scientists, researchers, psychiatrists, theologians, biologists, zoologists, and authentic feminists to equitably settle the science defining just what the hell is a woman. They seem to have no idea. Or to allow trans-satanic men into women's sports and bathrooms, they must first be given Islamic female genital mutilation surgery, get triple D breast implants, and wear 4-inch spike stilettos to make trans sports fair and fabulous.
Brent. The difference between me and you is I think the way we articulate how we feel about something, you put it on the level of being demonic. And I just put it on the level is that I don't agree with that. So, and I think you know what I'm trying to say. It's just the way it's being articulated to where it could sound offensive. I could agree with it, but when it comes off, and a lot of people could agree with it, but because of the way it comes off, they're gonna reject it because it just sounds so offensive and sounds so, just like you may be offended when somebody said Donald Trump is deranged and demonic, which I feel he is.
I don't mind it. No, I have no problem with people saying it. I just want them to support it with something real. All they do is make the accusation, and they never support it. And so for the situation you're talking about with why I'm being harsh towards the trans demonic world is that for the authentically mentally ill people who are very mixed up and confused, I have nothing but compassion and love for them. But within the political world, the trans politics world, these are not people with the mental illness of trans dysphoria. These are people who knowingly are taking advantage of the mentally ill and the rest of us and our naivete and our absolute absence of knowledge about what is basic. When you have Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Black Jackson saying she has no idea what a woman is because she's not a biologist. She's no fool. That means she's a Marxist. That means she's malevolent. And that means she's a misogynist. And the real world of misogyny is on the left and in the Democratic Party, just like the real world of racism.
No. You're going to get pushed back on that. When you say, Brent, that's what, oh my God, Brent. Boy, you've kind of, it's kind of like sometimes when you get to going, it's like scratching on the chalkboard. When you're sitting up here, all this crap that these Republicans have going on. But listen, you got your 3 minutes and something of conversation today. As always, I appreciate the phone call, and don't be a stranger. All right, wonderful. I'm out of here. Okay.
See ya.
All right, let's get to Leo from out of East L.A.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Leo. What's on your mind this morning?
Yes, sir. I'm just reporting in. I saw a documentary called Silent Fallout. I think everyone should look at it if you're a baby boomer or before, so you see what the Atomic Commission put out, the Pentagon put out from 1951 when the Nevada atomic bomb explosion started, and what happened to the good people in the state of Utah and the rest of the United States, the world, and the environment.
All
right. Silent Fallout.
Okay.
And, you know, since Project 1492 arrived here, you know, along came Columbus and Jesus. There was no Jesus here. Jesus, give me a break. Go home. Again, well, that's my opinion. But again,
and
you have to remember.
And you're entitled to
we,
it.
Yes. And remember, we, a red, brown human being inhabitants of this continent, we are not Americans. Canada is not America. Remember, that's France up there. They're French, and they don't claim anything to be American, and yet it's part of this continent. And all blessings to my brothers and sisters of the first island, the Taino inhabitants there, that were attacked with bombs bursting in air when Columbus arrived. So everyone should remember some of this history, or excuse me, her story, because his story arrived here, and man, you guys in Europe have really been chaotic.
I'm sure. Again, I'm sure some people that's listening to you, Leo, agree with you, because we do know the atrocities and everything that has went on with all, you know, with the Indians, with the black people, with the, you know, even when the Japanese was put in the concentration camps, you know, and it's just, this country is known for doing people wrong.
So it's been just like the title of the show there, you know, this whole continent has been under siege. It's a reservation, and it's under European control. And the first five big countries that arrived here from Europe, Spanish, Spain, Portuguese, the Dutch, the French, and then the United Kingdom.
Okay, those Leo, well, I have to get up out of here.
Okay, sir.
Thank you for the phone call. I really
like
appreciate
your show.
All right. Okay, thank you. Okay, let's get to Carson from, not Carson, let's get to Carlos from Carson.
Hello there. Well, listen, I'm concerned about this rhetoric, increasing rhetoric that you hear in the news media, that our military is running out of ammunition. Now, that, to me, that's a farce. How can the most powerful country in the world run out of ammunition within a month or two of having a war with Iran? What I think this is just a ploy to then justify graduating to bigger forms of combat or bigger weaponry. Let's say using nukes. They say, excuse me, we don't have any ammunition, so we're going to use nukes. And that would of course, propel the whole war into a whole new different level, a dangerous level. So, you know, this whole thing is, you know, it's a facade. If you hear of it, I don't know if you heard about that. There's a lot of talk about that. Even Trump has alluded to it.
Yeah, I've heard about it. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a hoax, man. They believe me. They want this war with Iran. They want the total annihilation of Iran because that serves the purposes of Israel. They want hegemony over that total part of the world, complete control of it, and Iran is in the way. Okay, now, besides that, there is the National Defense Authorization Act that is being voted on, Section 219, that's merging the Israeli military with our military. They will become indistinguishable. They will be privy to our latest technology, our research and development for new weapons, new technology. They will, you know, there's not going to be a barrier between us and them. You know, they will not have to resort to the people that spied for Israel, like Jonathan Pollard, and gave him secrets, and some other Richard Perle, all these people that give Israel secrets. They will not need to do that. They'll just get it from us directly. Now, one last thing real quick here. Transgenderism, in my opinion, is a stepping stone, a psychological stepping stone to transhumanism. Okay? Transhumanism entails that we will be merged with technology. And I think they are putting confusion into what's a man, what's a woman, as represented by transgenderism, is an open path towards that. So I don't agree with transgenderism at all, especially when they're pushing it on the little kids in school. They send a lot of transgenders out there to show as role models for little kids, 4 or 5 years old. I mean, that's an abomination, man.
Okay. All right, Carlos. Thanks for the call. Irene, do we have time to play one last clip? Okay, let me play one last clip. All right.
People don't understand. Oftentimes, if you're not a person of color, you don't understand some of the things that we see that maybe y'all don't. I think that they were trying to make a point that was ridiculous, because the Smithsonian's point is that everybody has all of these issues. So when you look at their list of things that they were complaining about, they were talking about people seem to feel that being polite, being hardworking is only for white people. That people of color, we don't work our behinds off. That somebody has to put us in order to get what we need. I did a deep dive into this because I didn't understand what I was reading. And then I saw it and it was like, listen, what they're trying to say is it's about the assumption that these values, which have been traditionally assigned to white people exclusively, should be assigned to other races too. The guide is to make sure that all races are represented with those values, not just white people. We all have these values. You cannot say that America is any worse or better than any other country because they did the same stuff. What we want is just admit it. Just say, this is what happened. Yeah. And stop pretending that it didn't happen.
Even
it did. And we have, you know, people always say to us, get over it. We've been over it.
Well,
we want everybody else to get over it.
We're still living under the effects of it as well.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah.
You know, if you make things equal, we will get over it. We won't have to think about it. And that goes for women, for African Americans, for gay folks. If you stop pointing these things out there bother you, then we'll stop talking about it. But as long as you keep picking at it like it's a surprise to you, we're going to keep saying, hey, read, ask, talk to people. The information is there. People don't.
All right. So I wanted to end that with that just to say that we're all created equal. And a reason why a lot of this foolishness is going on, because you have those particular individuals or those particular people who think they're better than somebody else. Knock it off. We all the same. We're all equal. We all have good ideas. We all could be horrible people. We can all be good people. You know, that being said, I'm out of here. Y'all have a blessed Sunday.
Hello, I'm Ian Masters, the host of Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org and heard on KPFK Mondays through Thursdays at 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 11 a.m. Background Briefing looks into three or four of the important stories and issues of the day to provide an in-depth daily briefing with context, history, and insight from the best-informed guests closest to the scene, who offer analysis and details often overlooked by the soundbite-driven media more and more controlled by Trump-friendly oligarchs. So if you want